Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen and Joe.
Hello, everybody. Hello, my brother.
How are you?
What's going on? How you been?
So I hear you have a haunted garage sale going on.
I have the best garage sale going on, everybody. Just to let you know.
She has a mirror that is from a 16th century monastery,
yeah, right.
Which is haunted. No. I had a mirror in my house forever, and I'm like, I'm bringing it over, and you're going to get rid of it for whatever.
Yes. Yes, I am. But it's interesting, too, because when you have a garage sale, you get all kinds of people coming,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You get looky-loos, you get talkers, and you get people who see, like, maybe one or two of your, like, paranormal stuff. Because sometimes, like, you'll have, like, just stuff in your house you want to get rid of. And I had a couple things, one with a Sasquatch on it and another one with my haunted, well, it was a floor mat. Welcome to my haunted house.
And yeah.
Everybody has a ghost story, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All of a sudden, these people, this guy, I'm not kidding, this guy came and talked to me for over an hour about the Bone House, about ghosts, about everything. And I was just like, I'd love to hear your stories. I'm so freaking tired from being on my feet all day. And I was like, I'm closing up. I was like, is this guy gonna leave? I don't know. But ended up he did.
Yeah.
Finally. But no, it's been really, really fun. Sold a ton of stuff. Here, listen. It's all my money I made.
Oh.
But one more day. So I got 2 days under my belt, one more to go. Hopefully it doesn't rain tomorrow, but if it does, I won't be sad.
Well, it's supposed to rain, and I'm going to try to get up very, very early and start making Bigfoot cutouts
because
I have orders for Bigfoot cutouts.
Well, that's good.
If it rains, I can't build them.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to go over to Mom's house, do it in the basement.
I can't because I got to cut all the wood out, and then there's sawdust everywhere. And
yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
But anyway.
But I still have Bigfoot cutouts for sale if anybody's in Toledo wants to pick one up. I can't mail it.
No.
I can't mail it
no,
to you.
No, not so much. Speaking of Bigfoot, I don't know why, like, I was just thinking about our convention, our Bigfoot convention. I was mentioning some lady had really loved Bigfoot, and she bought this Bigfoot T-shirt from me at my garage sale. And she's like, I didn't know there was a convention. If I would have known, I would have came and brought all my friends. And I was like, it was just so sad because there's no conventions going on right now.
No.
It's a bummer because we really, really enjoy, you know, going to the conventions and talking to everybody and interviewing people about their Bigfoot stories and alien stories and ghost stories and all their other weird stories.
Yeah. And, you know, like Miranda, she just talked to me today and she was supposed to do a meet and greet and it got canceled. Still canceling stuff.
Well, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
You know. It's unfortunate because a lot of people, you know, like plan their whole years, you know.
We did.
Going to 30 to 50 conventions a year. I mean, it's a lot, but we made it through. Well, you know, we come in through your radio every week. So here we are all together.
If you're thinking about putting on a convention or if you do put on a convention and you're going to do it next year and you want a podcast there. We'll be glad to come out. Give us a table. We'll come out. We'll set up. We'll entertain your guests.
Absolutely. Because that's what we do.
Yep.
You know, it would have been really nice if we had some kind of pre-knowledge of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Which leads us into our show topic today.
Oh, really?
That was my lead-in.
Oh. So if you would have had a dream that there was going to be, and I bet you people have, if you would have had a dream that there was going to be a worldwide pandemic and all the bars had to close and everybody has to wear masks.
I did not have that premonition whatsoever. No.
Oh, okay.
So I had no idea.
We're talking about premonitions and pretty much premonition dreams. And so what this is like precognition, we call it. Okay. And it's a dream that when you have these dreams are very vivid and stuff, but basically, it's also called prescience. Future vision, future sight is like a claimed psychic ability to see the events of the future. As with other paranormal phenomena, there is really no accepted scientific evidence of it, but precognition happens all the time. And to people, it's a real effect and is widely considered to be like pseudoscience. But like we say, it happens all the time. And people do have precognition dreams.
Have you ever had that happen where you thought about something or something came to you in a dream and then it happened?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure it has, but it's nothing that stands out enough that I would say, yes, I definitely had it.
Mm-hmm. I had one time something weird, and this is only the only time that's ever happened, but I was painting Mom and Dad's kitchen and I was standing up on top of the counter. Do you remember that? It was last time we painted in the kitchen, which was what, we were like 20 years ago. And I was up on, standing on the counter, you know, reaching up towards the ceiling. And I was like, there's an earthquake. There's going to be an earthquake. Mm-hmm. And it shook me so much, I had to get off the counter.
Yeah.
And it was weird because, like, it just came into me all of a sudden. And then the next day, I turned on the TV and there was a huge earthquake in Iraq.
Yeah.
And that was probably like 20 years ago. And I was like,
that's it.
The weirdest thing.
That's a precognition.
But that's the only time it's ever happened. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It was
yeah. Weird. I mean, I say they're.
Oh, no, it didn't. It happened one other time.
Oh, really?
Because I had a premonition. I was going to win a Volkswagen and I did. Oh, yeah.
But that's a perfect example of it's not always just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's walking down the street and saying, I got to go home. And you leave and you go home and find out that something happened. And I've got a story about that, a guy that happened to him two times, and it's pretty amazing.
Okay.
But people ask, you know, what's the difference between a premonition and an intuition? And basically intuition is something that you deal with almost every day, saying, don't turn here, go straight, you know, or, you know, don't leave the house yet, you know, or even times where you'll just sense, well, I don't know if I want to do this or not, or walking down the street going, well, this is a bad neighborhood, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To where a premonition or precognition is a very strong thing, like you said, when you were on the countertop.
It's more of like intuition is a feeling, a warning, mm-hmm. and a premonition is like a prediction of some kind of event that's yeah. going to happen, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, when you just have that feeling, yeah, like, yeah, I get that. Like, you know, you've had that feeling like, this person walking down the street looks like a shady character and I might have to go on the other side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, I had this dream that Uncle Frank buried a chest of gold in the backyard and I need to go dig up the backyard.
Well, okay, let's take that analogy. If you're walking down the street and you see this person coming at you and... like all of a sudden you see a video in your brain where it takes over so much where mm-hmm. you see that person pulling out a gun or pulling out a knife and stabbing you. That's a premonition.
Okay. All
right. To where the intuition is where you, like you said, maybe I should just walk on the other
like
side.
Like a feeling
yeah.
versus like seeing what it. Is going to yeah. happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I get it.
It's like your guardian angel talking to you
mm-hmm.
or your spirit guide or... some even say the universe is talking to you or warning you.
We've had many shows on, you know, that we've discussed angels and guardian angels. And, you know, like there's been times where we've, like the accident I had, like I fell in the tub. But if I would have been going through that intersection at that exact time,
mm-hmm.
I would have been in a different type of accident.
Yeah,
you know what I
exactly.
mean? So sometimes you just know something, like you're late for work, but you're always leave at the same time. Mm-hmm. But that particular day, you didn't leave at that time, and there was an act, you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing. I always think that's like
that's to me like your guardian angel yeah. is guiding you, and
mm-hmm.
your guardian angel smacked you in the head, and you fell in the tub. And
you're like, you better listen to me.
Some people say that you're actually tapping into the Akashic record. And seeing what's about to happen, you know, because on the other side, in the spirit world, there's no meaning of time. And usually if there's a high emotional charge event that might happen, your dream shows you that high charge because it's when you're in the spirit realm, you know, there's no sense of time. So mm-hmm. it's happening then. And that's why you're seeing it in your dream.
Interesting. And I wonder if we, you know, a lot of people have these premonitions during the dream because you were in that unconscious state,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, I don't know.
A lot of people, I don't know if it's true or not, but people actually say when you get into that dream state, you go out of body.
Yeah.
And that's how you can see different things. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not me. I sleep like a log. Like a freight train could come out through my house. I'm not floating above my house. I'm not going anywhere. I am out like a light. And tonight will be the same way.
I think that if that happened to me where I was laying in bed and I had an out-of-body experience and looked down on my house, I'd be like, I've got to clean this house up.
Now that I can see, gutters need cleaning.
No, now that I can see all the rooms at once,
yeah,
I can tell how bad it really is. So what do you do after you have this? Okay, a few things that you want to do. If you're prone to premonitions that very often come true, or you have a strong premonition about some future event, you really must document it. Okay. Usually an undocumented one, people are not going to believe you or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to document. What you can do is you can keep a diary or a journal to write down the premonitions that you have, because lots of times when you wake up, you really forget a lot of your mm-hmm. dreams real quick. But it's nice to keep, you know, a diary. Now, some people say a video diary, but I think once you wake up and you start doing like video, you're taking your mind out of that.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to turn the camera on. I got to turn the phone on. I got to do this. So I would stick with a journal that you write stuff down.
And most ghost hunters have, you know, video or digital recorders. So you can keep that by your bedside too. And, you know, most smartphones have a voice recorder.
Mm-hmm.
You
can... It's so much better than video, I think.
Yeah.
Because video, you're going to look at the screen and think more of how you look than just recording your memory.
Yeah.
Or recording your memories.
Memories.
Another one is tell others as much as you can remember, mm-hmm. or telling something, either using email. It might be better because you're typing it down. But then again, you have to open up the email and all that. And
You lose some of that.
You might lose some of it, yeah. Another good thing to do is use a date stamp. So in other words, when you write it down, you want to write the date and the time down first, because that's always good, because it helps you remember them better than other dreams. You know, because premonition dreams are not like other dreams. They're more vivid. You remember them better than other dreams. You'll wake up at the time of the dream and feel like wide awake sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like you have this premonition dream and you bang are awake. So it's a good thing to have something by your bed that you can write all that stuff down. Because they say that you forget 90% of your dreams within the first 10 minutes of being awake.
I had a couple of dreams that I've never forgot them.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my dreams, I can't wake up. I can't remember anything.
I can remember places, and I know they're places I've never been, but I dream about them all the time. But it's never really a premonition. I don't think I've ever had a premonition dream.
Yeah, I don't think I have,
mm-hmm.
But you know, I think, you know, maybe it's something you have to kind of like practice or meditate on. I don't know. Like if you can open yourself up to doing that, mm-hmm. or if it just happens.
But that would be getting more into like lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
To where you're controlling your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And as a premonition, you can't really control it because it hasn't happened yet.
Have you guys ever done this? And this is like kind of a rabbit hole thing, but our listeners probably have. You eat something before you go to bed and it gives you the weird dreams, like spicy food or something. And then you have weird dreams.
Well, I have weird dreams all the time. So,
well, yeah, that's us though. So, you know, we have a little bit of information here. There's a lady who had wrote this article about the belief in pre-recognition. It rises when people feel helpless.
Yeah.
So Lauren Cahoon Roberts wrote this, but it's interesting because it says predicting the future may be impossible, but that doesn't stop people from believing in what they say, that some have the power to do this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a new study finds that people are more prone to believe in precognition when they feel that their lives are out of control, suggesting that faith in the paranormal forecasting provides a kind of coping mechanism for humans. So it can be unpleasant to think that we aren't really in control of our lives and people go to great lengths psychologically to trick themselves into feeling more in control. They say one way they can do this is by enhancing the feeling that the future is predictable, so they know that what is going to happen, basically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, knowing what your path is and your plan. It says 1 in 4 Americans believe that precognitive abilities exist, and thousands of dollars are spent on psychics every year, despite any scientific proof that our futures can be predicted, according to the study. In the study, researchers divided the 85 college undergrad student participants into two groups. One group wrote a description about the time they felt in control, a high control group, and another group wrote about the time they felt out of control, which was the low control group. Then each group answered their questions about their beliefs in the paranormal. The results showed that those in the low control group showed stronger beliefs in foretelling the future. Findings suggested that not only people turn to superstitious beliefs as a coping mechanism when they feel out of control, but they also that the belief also helps them to feel that they're once again in charge of their fate. Study participants who read a short paragraph that stated precognition was scientifically proven reported feeling more control over their futures compared to those who had read a short paragraph saying the phenomenon was a myth. Interestingly enough, people who only put their faith in foresight when they felt out of control. When the researchers told the high control group that the precognition was real, the participants didn't report any feelings of more control in their lives. They said these findings point towards the malleability of the human psychological system, as if we feel that we are in a lack of control, we perform psychological gymnastics to help us feel more in control. This all happens largely outside of the consciousness awareness, and we are biased and sometimes irrational species, but adaptively so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other experts have mixed views on the findings.
Yeah.
Bhutasasan Rutjens, a psychologist at the University of Amsterdam, said this is one of the first studies that show such a compensation for lack of control actually helps as such a functional value. I have no idea what that sentence means, but I guess it was very important at the time. Results show that when people feel like their life is out of control, they basically just go out of their way to restore the notion that the world is orderly and under control. However, Christian Lauren, whoever that is, who studies organizational behavior at Stanford University.
That's who she is.
Schmancy, said, for a precognition to give me that added control, I need to be the one who has the precognition, and it doesn't necessarily help me that there may be other people out there who can predict the future. Somebody else said that if a person were to know in advance what was going to happen to them, they could actually feel that they have no control over the event. If it's possible, for example, to predict accurately at what age we'll die, then at what kind of person will I marry? There's nothing they can do to change that. I don't know what that was talking about. And then there was a psychologist at the University of Texas at Austin disagreed and said, it seems like we are there just to be in some kind of control in the world, but it doesn't necessarily have to be us that can foresee our own futures. So basically, you know, people just want to feel in control.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're all like, okay, we don't know what's going on. That's why we make lists. That's why mm-hmm. we make to-do lists. That's why we have calendars. So we can have that feeling like, okay, we're doing something. We're accomplishing something, which is my big thing. Like, I always want to feel like I get something done, mm-hmm. right? Like, what's going to happen in the future? You don't know, but you can kind of guide yourself like, okay, tomorrow, what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm going to get up at 6. I'm going to hit my alarm clock at 6:15. I'm going to be in the shower. I'm going to go to work. You know, you know what your day is going to be, mm-hmm. you know, and that gives people a sense of like, okay, I know what I have to do and where I have to go and where I have to be at this time.
And that's why I think that she was trying to explain in the article that, you know, people that are down or how'd she put it, feeling helpless, mm-hmm. they search for those things. And it's almost like if you start thinking so much that how helpless you are, oh, I got this. And then pretty soon you start actually thinking about what the future is going to be mm-hmm. and what events are going to happen. Well, they're going to happen because you're telling your brain they're going to happen. They're going to happen. They're going to happen.
That's kind of like where anxiety comes from mm-hmm. because your anxiety, you think what's going to happen instead of just living in the moment. Yeah. Like, okay, right now I'm just sitting here. I'm doing my podcast. I'm thinking, what if it rains tomorrow on my garage sale yeah. and everything's going to get wet? You know, that's kind of.
Are you having a precognition right now that it's going to rain tomorrow? And even though you know the weather says it's going to rain?
No, that's not precognition. That's just the old weatherman
yeah.
trying to scare us. But, you know, I get what they're saying. Like, but, you can't. I don't think anybody truly can predict the future. I think your plan is your plan. And, mm-hmm. and well, you know, you can predict, but you can focus what you want,
yeah.
where you want to go with your life. But I don't, you know, it's, we don't have any right to know like the exact time we're going to die unless you
well, take people your own have life. Had precognitions about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people say, well, I can predict the future and all that, but it's a future that they're making.
Yeah. And a lot of times people say things that are so general.
Oh,
it
yeah.
could apply to anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're going to meet a man with a blue shirt. Now, most people wear blue shirts.
And
so, like, you know.
Not
like,
to cut down any of the psychics, but that's what they say. A lot of psychics say, like, I feel that you've had a death in your family
in the
last 1,000 years.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that. But there, you know, there's some celebrities that had premonitions.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a couple examples here if you want. A couple. There was Kurt Cobain, the Nirvana frontman, who was. He was preoccupied with death even when he was living at the age 14. He told a classmate that he would become a famous musician before taking his own life. And, you know, tragically, he was correct.
Yeah.
Now, was that a premonition?
You know,
or was that more like, you know, that's something you just planned on doing mm-hmm. for your life? I don't even know if that was really a premonition. It wasn't like somebody came to him and said,
yeah.
you know, in a dream, at the age 27, you're going to blow your head off with mm-hmm. a shotgun.
Yeah, I don't think so. You've got Jackie Wilson, nicknamed Mr. Entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
One of Wilson's biggest hits in the 1958 song was Lonely Teardrops.
Mm-hmm. Lonely Teardrops. That's all I know about that song.
Which in there, that you know, he sings about my heart is crying. While performing on stage in 1975, Wilson suffered a fatal heart attack. On stage. So his heart was crying.
Man, we are some good singers. Our poor listeners. I feel bad for you guys. Proof. He's a rapper.
Okay.
I think. I'm just saying like that. Like I know rap, right? In one of his songs, he rapped that, in the club to beef, you gotta murder me there. When Proof got in a fight, in a club in Detroit, guns were pulled out and shots were fired and he was killed.
Yeah, so he's saying about it, him being killed in the club because of a beef. But
beefing.
But
we're beefing.
Isn't most rap that?
Yeah. Okay, so Tupac's death was always mysterious. You know, they still haven't really proved who did that. And he kept saying it was going to happen. He said, once he rapped, I've been shot and murdered, can tell you how it happened word for word. If that's not foresight, we don't know what is. But, you know, you're in the rap game.
That's what
you
I was saying
enemies,
about,
like,
about proof. You know, do you
even,
have proof?
Yeah, even, you know, Biggie Smalls, he went on an interview and said that he felt like people were after him and they were going to murder him. And he got shot.
Yeah, but people were after him.
Yeah, you know. Let's see, who else? Who else, Joe? There is Abraham de Morvay. I don't know who that is.
Huh.
It says, you think death is the one mystery that can't be cracked, but mathematician Abraham de Morvay, just, he did it. He specialized in mortality tables and predicted that he would die on November 27th, 1754. And he was right.
Yes. Mark Bolan from the band T-Rex had a phobia about driving. Never got his driver's license in fear of dying of a premature death behind the wheel. Well, in 1977, he was killed in a car accident 2 weeks before his 30th birthday. So he predicted that.
All right. So there also was a famous baseball player called Frank Pastore. He had a radio show, too, and he loved motorcycles. He once commentated that it was dangerous and he could end up spread all over the 210. Just 3 hours later, he died on the 210 freeway. He was hit by a car.
Yeah.
Bob Marley, famous musician, there was always rumors that he was psychic. And some of the rumors, he told his family that he would die at 36. And no one knows if this was true, but he did die of cancer at 36 years old.
Oh, wow.
Lisa Lopez from the group TLC. So they say that T-Boz was riding in the car with the security and had a feeling there was going to be a crash. She told the drivers to take her home. And she complained because they complained because it was across town. She said, "I don't care. Take me home. Something's going to happen to me." And she got home, sat in her rocking chair, and then she got the call that the Lisa Lopez, her bandmate, was killed in a car crash in Honduras. And it was funny, too, because that they did a documentary about her. You know, she died at 30 years old, and she, you know, famously burnt her boyfriend's house, Andre, Bison, whatever his name was. He was a famous football player. She burned his house down by accident. And, you know, she went through this whole time where she was just couldn't find herself. And then she went and finally found some like peace down in Honduras and was like turning her life around. And then she died in that car crash.
Yeah. She was all going into meditation and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah. Trying to just heal some old wounds. But there was the former Weezer guitarist, Mikey Welsh. He once tweeted about a dream he had that he died in his sleep of a heart attack in Chicago. And just as he predicted, he died of a heart attack in Chicago his sleep. Yeah.
See, that's a prediction. That's a precognition.
Because like a lot of these people that have these kind of like predictions or premonitions, they're all entertainers.
Yeah.
Like they're artistic and you know, creators.
I think mainly it's because they're in the limelight too.
And people hear about
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be it.
In 1779, Lord Thomas Lilton.
Lord.
Lilton.
Lilton ladies.
Yeah. November 24th, 1777, he saw a woman in white in his dream. She told him to get his things in order. You will die soon. He asked how long. She replied, 3 days. So, 3 days later, he had a dinner party to calm his nerves and stay at home because, you know, he's afraid that if he was out, something would happen. At about 10:30 p.m., he remarked to all his guests that death has not got him. 1.5 hours later, he said death has not got him and he had 1.5 hours to live. At this time, his guests left. And he retired to his bedroom where all of a sudden he had a pain in his gut. And he's had these pains before, so it was nothing new. His servant went to the kitchen to make him the remedy that he usually takes. She walked in the room and found him dead in his bed at the age of 35 at 1 minute to midnight.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds like a legend in folklore.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different stories of like, you know, even Jim Morrison once told some of his drinking buddies that they were drinking with number three, AKA the third member of the 27 Club, which was his fateful prediction as Morrison was found dead and 27 years old of heart failure.
Yeah, and he was number three of the group. That it's the 27 Club are all the entertainers that died at 27. Yeah. This is an interesting one. Okay, this happened about the 9/11. Okay. Brett Waller was a Wall Street executive who worked at the Twin Towers, and he had two premonitions about the trade centers. Okay. On the 23rd of February, he was riding the train to work and panic came over him. He was stricken with panic. When his stop came up, he froze and did not get off the train. About an hour later, the first bombing at the World Trade Center happened. And I forget what year that was, but it was the bomb where they took a truck in the bottom of the Trade Center and blew it up. And he would have been killed. The second one was on September 11, 2011 or 2001. He was going to work and he had the same exact feeling.
Wow.
And he was frozen. He could not even get off the train at his stop. And he went home. When he got home, he turned on the TV and saw the news about the bombings.
I think there was a lot of stories about the 9/11 that people just had that feeling of like not to go into work or got to get out of the, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, it would be interesting to do just some research on those type. Yeah. There was Countess Tautiscuff. Joe gave me this one so I can pronounce it wrong. One night in 1886, she had a dream of her father telling her that her husband had fallen in the War of Borodining.
Borodining.
Okay, yeah. She woke immediately with her husband still next to her in the bed. The dream kept
reoccurring
night after night. She asked her husband where Borodine was, and he didn't know. A year later, she was in an inn, and her father came in shouting that the general was killed in the battle. The scene matched exactly how her dream was.
Yeah. There's a reason I gave you that one, because I know about that one, and she said that she was in the exact same building that she had the dreams about and everything. But that's the thing, too, about these precognition dreams is they're very vivid. Mm-hmm. The colors are brighter. Everything is so much more vivid about these dreams, so you remember them more. Now, before we let the guests go, let's talk about the Titanic, because there was a lot of them that happened in the Titanic.
Interesting enough. So several people had premonitions about the sinking of the Titanic. So it was launched May 31st, 1911. Mm-hmm. It was completed April 2nd. 1912, and then the maiden voyage was April 10th of 1912. Annie Ward was a housekeeper who reserved the most lavish rooms in the Titanic. After paying, she had a premonition that something terrible would happen, and she refused to board the ship. Alex McKenzie was walking aside the ship and about to board when he heard a voice in his head tell him he would die if he boarded. He thought it was somebody talking to him. He did not find anyone talking to him. He walked closer, and the voice said it again. And this time it said it over and over. He turned and head home. Then he arrived home, and his family was mad at him for not using the ticket. But days later, he got news of the sinking.
Yeah.
And then there was this one. John Coffey was a boiler stoker who got on the ship in Southampton. Throughout the trip to Queenstown, he had repeated dreams of the disaster. So when he arrived in Queenstown, Ireland, he got off the ship and didn't return because of his fears. And so like the last port of call was in Cork, Ireland, where our family's from, County Cork. And then they went on to the rest of the fateful trip.
Yeah. And he actually got in trouble by the company for not showing back up at the ship. And he kept saying, I'm not going on the ship. I'm not going on the ship. And a lot of the people say that the reason he didn't get back on the ship because that was his hometown. And he used the Titanic to get from wherever it started to his home. But other people, you know, even him says that he kept having dreams about the disaster.
Yeah. Now, wasn't there a book written about a gentleman had wrote a book probably what, like maybe 10 years before?
Yeah.
It's called The Wreck of the Titan. Mm-hmm. And it was this guy, it was published in 1898. So that's probably 12, 14 years before the Titanic. Before.
Because when I was looking this up, that is the most common one, the most known one is The Wreck of the Titan. And I looked at the cover of the book, and the ship looked exactly like the Titanic.
Wow.
And all the dimensions were about the same. Now, they said that the weight of the ship was different in the book, but every single thing matched what the Titanic did. And I was thinking, that's why I looked up the dates, is I was thinking, well, maybe he saw the plans for the Titanic and then made the book about it. But it was, what, 10 or 15 years before the Titanic.
Yeah, interesting.
So he made this book, The Wreck of the Titan, and it basically describes exactly what happened to the Titanic.
Wow, that's interesting.
And that's his premonition.
That's interesting. I just wonder if any of our listeners have had like an experience like that. I mean, just, you know, I'm not saying like anybody who's like psychic and, you know, because I think that's a different kind of ability, but just us regular people have ever had an experience where like you saw something that happened and then it really happened.
Yeah, saw something in your dream and then actual happened afterwards. And that's a precognition.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's very interesting. I love reading stories like that. You know, it's always interesting. Like, ooh, they thought about it or they saw it, and then it really happened. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say I don't think it's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had a really vivid dream, because a lot of my dreams, I dream about places and things that I dream about over and over, and it's places I know I've never been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I shouldn't say that. There was one where I kept dreaming about this memorial type flag with the three flag poles and then the like a big rocks with plaques on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had dreams about that, but then I found out that when I go down Route 23, you go through a small town and there it was. So it, and that's how dreams work. They say that every face that you see in your dreams are people that you have seen in real life, mm-hmm. but they might have been people that just passing.
Or saw on a TV show.
Saw on a TV show or something, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because your mind remembers all that stuff.
It's funny because we don't think we remember it, but I think there's like a card catalog in there.
Like
the old library card catalogs full in your brain. Just full of little nuggets of knowledge
there is.
Somewhere.
I mean, the humans are deletion characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands and thousands of stuff going into your brain every second. You know, the sound of the wind outside, the sound of the air conditioner turning on, the temperature on your skin, all that. But there's a section in your brain, and I've talked about it many times, but there's a section in your brain that deletes all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it only tells you what's important. Sort of like when you see 222 all the time. Well, it's always around you. You just don't notice. Or when you buy a brand new car, all of a sudden you see that same car everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your active reticulating system.
Oh, that's a big fancy word. We know some fancy words over here.
But part of, not to go on something different.
Oh, but, go for it. It's a rabbit hole.
Part of during your life coaching stuff is one of the things is your reticulative activating system plays a big deal in that. And there's a technique where you get up in the morning and you tell yourself, this is going to happen today. This is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep telling yourself, this is what's important. And it's basically telling your active reticulating system, this is important. So it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you are looking for something and you can't find it. And you say, I can't find it. I can't find it. I can't find it. You're never going to see it.
Right.
And then someone comes in the room and says, it's right in front of you.
Right.
Because your brain's saying you can't see it.
Mm.
You know. So anyways, that's.
Preach on,
it's a little life coaching stuff. Yeah,
you all got a little free life coaching session today with Joe Shortridge. If you'd like to book a session with Joe Shortridge and his life coaching, just get a hold of him.
Tell me what you want to do. Tell me what you want out of life.
Look at that voice, that nice calming voice.
Yes, calming voice. When it's really, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Why aren't you doing it?
Why not?
You can do it. You can do it.
The five whys. Why are you not doing it? Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing that?
Why? Anyways.
Sort of like a Yoko Ono song. Why?
Oh, my gosh. Rabbit holes. Sorry, everybody.
So anyways, if you guys have if you have ever had a precognition dream and it's something very, very vivid that came true, let us know. Throw it down on our Facebook page.
Put it on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Also, remember, we're up for the podcast awards. Go to podcastawards.com. Jen will put a description or put in the description.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Go up there. Right now, you're just voting for the nominees, but starting next month, which is when the show comes out.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
August already.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Tomorrow. So anyhow, thanks for listening. Get up there on the podcastawards.com. Another thing, go to our website.
Yes.
The t-shirts are up on the website.
Yes. Get your shirts, everybody.
Get your shirts. Support our show. They're only $17 right now. The price will be going up.
Okay.
But right now, they're only $17.
Yep. Get them while they last.
Get them while they're hot.
Hot, hot, hot.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And we will talk to you next week.
Everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you then.
And let's play a little Dead End 5.
Let's go. Take care.
Goodbye. In the days of Dirt's glorious times, you're confused in your life and your life. And if you never bleed another line, you'll scream for the line of your day. And you looked at me with your displeased eyes, but you know the truth. But you never understood, even cared, never heard a word. What? Shadow faces, live for grave. Shadow faces, not the same.